The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. The conversation continues with Dean Mackin on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Certainly does. And welcome back to the program. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can do it a bunch of ways. I don't know if we'll have time for talk back this afternoon because we've got a lot of guests on this afternoon, but normally you can do that. You can certainly jump on the tntradio.live website and jump on the live chat. The other way you can do it is send an email, as has Alex. And Alex, Craig Kelly stole your thunder because before Craig Kelly came on, he wrote, I read nurses saying that if you've had remdesivir, the nurses are calling it run, death is near. Sounds like it was very, very true. I'll tell you what, if you're one of those nurses that had that name for that drug and you put your career, your job ahead of those who were having it and decided not to contact somebody in the media or not to get out there and stand on a soapbox in the street, possibly even outside the hospital, I have zero respect for you. Zero. Because I certainly know plenty of people that put their job far behind the health of people. And that's what it should be. And if enough of you got up, or even one of you got up, might lead to two, to four, to eight, before you know it, everybody knows about it because you're all saying the right thing. Be the one. Be the one who stands up first. Don't be the one that has a name for it and then administers it anyway just because you want to get a pay packet. I do realize some of you have to pay a mortgage, but what about the families? What about the loved ones of those who have had these outcomes and you knew it was bad and you participated? Really? I mean, really? Okay. On the online chat, we've got some interesting characters with some interesting names. One going by Udimwit. Udimwit. Okay, yeah, I get it. And I'd like to read you a bunch of the post, but it says message has been deleted by the author 4 out of 7 times. It's a bit like when I talk to my wife, what did you say? Don't worry about it. So it's a bit like that, but I can read you this one. You cannot blame people for politicians that defy the federal constitution and forces you to vote. You are forced to vote for the criminals. No, well, you're not. And you know who they are because they're in the major parties. They are part of the duopoly. Those who, you know, there's not many good ones left in the major parties with the exception of maybe the Nationals and all the rest of freedom parties. You know, the LDP, the UAP that's been deregistered subsequently, but probably will be back. Yes. And of course, PHON, Pauline Hanson's One Nation. So you do. And those who have voted for the freedom parties, we tend to know who those are we can't trust. And how do we know that? Because we didn't vote for them. And all the people that we did vote for are still telling the truth or were ousted for speaking the truth or for standing up for the right things. Moira Deeming is the most recent victim of all of that. They get rid of you. They get rid of you if you are not fair dinkum, according to them. But if you're legit by our standards, yep, that's how it goes. Good news during the news, garlic can kill COVID if you've got the right type of garlic. And of course, as Craig Kelly mentioned earlier, Professor Thomas Barodi, he actually told you that. He had that triple therapy as early as, I think it was September or October 2020. And I don't know if I've said this story. I actually outed somebody at the network I used to work at while I was there because he did an interview with Professor Thomas Barodi. Oh, Thomas Barodi, you know, I can't blow enough smoke up your backside. That's terrific. Why aren't we all having access to this? You are wonderful. This is great. Thank you so much for coming on my program and telling everybody about this potential cure to stop this this pandemic. And there he was, fine, no worries, cool. Come December, when the mainstream media have targeted Craig Kelly and decided that you should say something bad about Craig Kelly if you work in the mainstream media, otherwise you might be a conspiracy theorist. Well, there he was, same fella, having a crack at Craig. And what was Craig doing? He was telling you about the triple therapy that Professor Thomas Barodi invented that he had spoke about 2 months earlier. Isn't that amazing? That is how the mainstream media works. And that's why I'm so glad to be part of TNT Radio and not part of that schmozzle. I got benched once and sacked once. Why? Because I tell the truth. And it's not like they didn't give me a heads up. They used to make me call them every Tuesday afternoon. I'd have my son in the car and I had to talk to the general manager and some dimwit who's back to being an announcer there. And this dimwit was a manager at the time. And they would review the things that I spoke about during the week. And I'd just sit there in the car and my son and I would smirk as we had them on hands free. And I'd get a, oh, well, this was good, but that wasn't. And it took them months to realize that I completely ignored everything they said and just went on with it regardless. You know, it was completely pointless. Anyway, it's fun. That's what happens when you work in the mainstream media. I wanted to talk about Ben Robert Smith and the outcome this afternoon. The media has won in his defamation case. They have stated that he is in the wrong. The worst part about this is not just did he actually put his medals, he hocked his medals with a very rich Australian who has financially backed him to date. I would suggest that that debt shall become due. It is imminent and it shall be decided imminently as well, in excess probably of $25 million. It means a lot. There are a lot of variables in this case, not just could he possibly be open to further criminal prosecution down the track. There's already a member of the SAS who is currently undergoing procedures in regards to what they consider to be murder. And for those of you making judgments, I would suggest, as I have never been in one of those situations where you are surrounded by people whose sole intent is to kill you, how you might react given certain circumstances. Let's just say that without getting into detail. Anyway, have a think about it, and really have a think about it, actually. Cattle producers have produced... Oh, no, actually, I'll do this first. Sorry. Join TNT Radio in the annual pilgrimage to the healing city of Bath in southwest England to hear the pioneers and the innovators of our time reveal how excellent health has been hidden from us, and you can explore what the reveal means for the better world that we are co-creating. The Better Way Conference 2023 at the Apex Hotel in Bath, UK, from this Thursday, June 1 to Sunday, June 4, unveiling a better way for health, freedom and sovereignty. The Better Way Conference here only on TNT Radio 2023.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, you know that bug that you just swatted? Well, don't waste it because you might be chowing down on it real soon because they don't like real food. They don't like cattle. They don't like, you know, they don't like anything that's good for you, anything that is makes Australia prosperous. And certainly that which sustains us and our families, they don't like it one little bit. Cattle producers have accused the Albanese government of showing contempt for the industry after a $215 million settlement offer in the billion-dollar live export class action. For more details, we're going to cross to TNT's own Jeremy Beck. Hey, Jeremy.
G'day, Dean. Yeah, it's a big story. I think it's important, though, to give some background to this story because the saga started when the Gillard government announced the snap ban on live cattle exports in June 2011. So it's been going a long time. It followed an ABC Four Corners report produced with Animals Australia into allegations of mistreatment of cattle in Indonesian abattoirs. But in June of 2020, the federal court ruled that the live export ban was unlawful. Now, the ban lasted just less than a month, but the industry figures say that the impact of that decision was felt for a decade. The case is believed to be costing Australian taxpayers about $1 billion. So a mere $215 million settlement offer is understandably seen to be just a spit in the face. The class action against the Commonwealth submitted its final analysis of the financial impact of the ban, pinning the damage at $1.2 billion, with a further $800 million in interest in 2022. David Stowate, former chair of the Kimberley Pilbara Cattlemen's Association, says the offer is very disappointing, being 10% of what it's expected. It's obviously way short of where it needs to be. It does show a deal of contempt for pastoralists and other claimants. And Charters Tower's Mayor, Frank Beveridge, says, "We've had graziers die by suicide. We've had families go bankrupt." And he went on, and he's not happy at all about it either, Dean. So it's not a good outcome for Australian agriculture.
Yeah, the live export market, when you were explaining it, reminded me very much of a power station. You can shut it down at the flick of a switch. It's days to get it back up and running, unless you've knocked it down, and then it could take years up to a decade. And that's pretty much what happens when they interrupt our live export market. So the question is, how important is the live export market to Australian agriculture?
Yes, it is important, Dean. If you look at the figures, the total value of livestock exported from Australia was approximately $2 billion in 2020-2021, $1.5 billion for cattle, $92 million for sheep, and $7 million for goats. Now, in 2020-2021, the live cattle export trade directly or indirectly contributed up to $1.4 billion to the Australian economy. So shutting it down, even for just a matter of weeks, can really hurt for long term, which it has.
I've noticed when they try and destroy Australia, it's usually multifaceted and they fight on many fronts. So are there any other aspects of Australian agricultural which are currently under attack?
Many, and many have been for many years, decades. Actually, one that comes to mind is the Murray-Darling Basin Plan, which essentially turned water, which would otherwise be for agricultural production, flushing down the rivers in the name of environmental flows for environmental outcomes. Really, in reality, it's caused environmental damage by the flushing of the rivers. It causes enormous erosion on the rivers. It just goes out to sea. Agriculture doesn't get the water that they need. It makes water expensive. It's driven whole areas in the Murray-Darling Basin to desperation. It's just horrible to see what's happened, all done in the name of the environment.
It is, mate. It won't be long before I'm sending you a packet of chalk-coated crickets so fresh you can hear them chirping. Mate, got to go, and we always appreciate him. Back here every afternoon at about 10 past the hour, TNT's own Jeremy Beck. Back with Omar Khan after this.
You should hear what Greg Neighbor is talking.
The hour, TNT's own Jeremy Beck. Back with Omar Khan after this.
You should hear what Greg Neighbor is talking about.
2 days ago, I received a phone call from a close member of my immediate family, and it was a phone call that I'd been dreading. She'd rung to inform me that the family of one of her oldest and dearest friends, who's been in a coma for almost 3 weeks now, had made the heartbreaking decision to turn off his life support system. Now, we don't know at this stage if indeed our friend, who's around 40 years of age and, as I understand it, was vaccinated at least twice, suffered what is called an adverse event from the jab. But we do know this: for the past 3 years, that close member of my family and her longtime friend have been estranged over differences to do with the events that have unfolded around COVID and the jab. Now, many of you will have heard stories like this before, with perhaps some listeners having gone through similar first-hand experiences since the jab rollout, where you've watched people you love forced to deal with the emotional fallout from having experienced the loss of someone close to you under similar circumstances. I feel for you. There can be no doubt that these differences, which have divided rock-solid family relationships and long-standing friendships in unprecedented, acrimonious, and even tragic ways, they've been carefully fostered by those who wrought this criminal catastrophe upon us all.
The No Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on TNT Radio.
Have you ever felt like time was moving too fast? Do you need a break from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine? Then come and experience Sam Sam Yao Noi, where time slows down and magic comes to life on the stunning Yao Noi Island in southern Thailand. Our private villas and public spaces are quiet, spacious, and very inspirational. Inside and outside magic spaces, you'll find exceptional facilities and a full contemporary art collection to inspire your senses. Our dedicated Sam Sam family is here to provide bespoke services to make your stay unforgettable. Let nature and our Sam Sam family team take over, and you'll get the utmost recalibration of your mental balance. Discover the enchantment that awaits you at Sam Sam Yao Noi. Book your stay today at Sam Sam Yao Noi and experience our magic places, magic spaces for yourself.
Book your stay in Thailand now and visit samsam-spaces.com.
Hear about it.
I don't even know where to start with AOC.
Talk about it.
The stupidity of this administration.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You don't forget to get involved, and it's interactive. It's more interactive than a game of Twister. It's more fun than you can have doing pretty much anything else with your clothes on, listening to us here and getting involved, and not just listening, but doing something. And Grant McDougall in the online chat while we were talking about the compulsory acquisition of the Calvary Hospital has actually got on and emailed the PM as suggested, and good on him, and he's doing his homework, and that's what we have to do here. It's one thing to listen and agree and nod, get active, do something, get somebody else involved. Otherwise, what's the point? If you do that, you are part of the movement, and I would encourage each and every one of you to do so. No need to encourage this next fellow. He is the guy, Omar Khan. He is a global consultant who has advised clients on six continents, including Australia, on leadership responses to opportunities and crises. His firm, EPL Global, keeps leaders informed, allowing for better decision-making. Omar has helped to convey and promote Dr. Shankara Chetty's eighth-day protocol, a COVID treatment that has been successful, requiring no controversial or off-label drugs. Sri Lanka is one of the countries where frontline doctors have been successful applying its principles. Other discussed in his articles concerning the mass COVID-19 lockdowns, mandating confusion, eroding clarity, all those things, and even what we're going to be talking about this afternoon, which is weapons that should be ending up in Ukraine. Not that I agree with that statement in itself, but they're ending up in the hands of the cartels. Omar, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Excellent, my friend. I read a story this afternoon and that you did, and I was just absolutely gobsmacked at what could be happening over in all around the world, but in particularly the cartels, the drug cartels, are getting their hands on potentially billions of dollars around the world of weapons intended to go to the Ukraine.
Well, it's a black market. Ukraine uses it as money laundering in a way. This Putin had warned about this. There are no controls. There's absolutely nobody overseeing what happens. And so suddenly you find them on the southern border of the United States and elsewhere. And you therefore realize that this is a scam. You are dealing with a military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower had warned. And the idea is that while that exists, that predator needs to be fed. And sending it to the Ukraine, well, it might as well. You have to send it somewhere, and this gives it a an optically attractive place to send it with the whole regalia of democracy and anti-communism. But nobody could believe that these are actually being deployed or that anyone knows where they're going.
A couple of things
I
found.
And so we're feeding it.
Mate, a couple of things I found disturbing in the story were, A, the US government is aware that this is happening. One of the other things that I was especially concerned about, that Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said it could be $1 billion worth a month.
Yeah, I mean, look. The United States government is well aware of its shenanigans. It just is counting on the obliviousness of the mass public, the hypnotic swagger of the flag and all of the patriotic jingles and everything else that make people believe that it's all right. And somehow there's a kitchen pass for gross stupidity and wanton distribution of dangerous weapons. It's crazy. And of course, there is no kitchen pass for this. And the magnitude. But the fact is right there on the southern border of the United States. It's not even as if this is some, cunning plan and is being sent out far and wide and despoiling others. It's coming home to roost.
Yeah, it really is. Mate, there's a lot happening down on the American southern border at the moment. And not only are the Americans broke, they are literally broke, having just recently voted to raise their debt ceiling, but they've actually, correct me if I'm wrong, they're leaving themselves, these people who are threatening that if China goes into Taiwan, that they shall respond militarily, that they don't have any missiles left hardly.
Yeah, well, they're depleting them by getting them out to the Ukraine. They will be ill-supplied to deal with anything that China might do. And, I mean, when you are impoverished and neutered, I think that, you know, China, if I was China, I wouldn't be sitting. I'd just say, let them self-destruct. What's the rush?
True. You know, that's so true.
Why would you, what would be, I mean, China plays the long game, right? So, obviously, the U.S. stocks are down. Labor market data, you know, looks fine, but there you can, you know, slice it and dice it however you want. But, you know, it's a terrible situation where the sovereignty, right? Sovereignty is what has been sacrificed at the border, sovereignty in terms of being able to seed the future. And even, I think, you know, over things like public health, as we've found, you know, it's certainly nothing anyone would be cheering. And I don't think it's just the U.S. We also find this in a lot of Europe, your own country, and everybody else who's sort of following along this idiotic playbook.
It certainly is that. And as you made the point, I mean, basically the likes of Russia and China need only sit back and watch America implode. What possible harm could they do short of a nuclear attack that could be half as harmful as what Joe Biden is currently doing to that country?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Biden and co, you see, you also lose sovereignty in a way when people realize there are no consequences. And what the whole Biden scam and scheme have shown is that if you come from a certain political stripe, you're immune. Right? I mean, you're absolutely immune. And therefore, people watching this say, well, okay, you don't get to pontificate to us. You have no moral standing. You don't have the emotional high, you don't have the economic high ground. You're militarily compromised. So the dollar being the only game in town, that's no longer self-evident. And so you just wonder. You know, you just wonder as to how acutely they want to self-destruct.
It seems to be on purpose. One would hope that that is not the case. With the American dollar, I saw it recently suggested that it could still be the default currency of the world for up to two decades, even though they do find themselves in currently in dire straits. What do you think of that? Do you think that's likely?
What, the dollar will kind of... look, people will do what makes sense to them. When the dollar was the only game in town, then when the sanctions came along and people needed... to deal with energy issues, they did that, right? I mean, people will do what makes sense. People are no longer, and you now have more of a bipolar world. You have the countries with the liquidity surpluses, and they have the ability to trade, right? I mean, they can start doing deals however they wish. So I think... we don't know what we're in for here, but there's no inevitability about the dollar anymore. I mean, if you realize that the Treasury's cash account a few weeks ago was under $62 billion, and that's the lowest level of cash holding since 2017. And this could put pressure on the broader equity market, and everything else. So the Treasury, you know, if they want to raise that balance back, then inflation, here we come again, to which is already rampant. So this is not something under its control. You know, and I think the issue about whether it's doing it knowingly or not, I think it's doing it in bunkers. It's doing it in silos. It's not doing it with a sense of one plus one or how the dots connect. And unfortunately, these things happen until suddenly you're no longer in control at all. And that may be where we're headed.
Do you have any predictions as to short-term outcomes regarding the conflict in the Ukraine?
No, because I'm not sure what we're doing. I mean, which conflict in the Ukraine? You know, there's military conflict.
Yeah, the military conflict, yes.
Then we've got the money laundering conflict. Then we've got... I mean, I don't know which conflict we're dealing with or why anybody's dealing with it. We know that you could broker a peace. And this is now one of those idiotic situations where you're really, you think that you're simply watching the manipulation of levers of power simply for other aims, simply for other means. If you ask yourself right now, you know, suddenly ask yourself, well, why is this going on? Well, from the beginning, we have been trying to provoke this, right? It Yes. seems that provoking conflict is the only thing left in the game book. That's the only way for that empire to stay solvent. But eventually, you have to ask yourself, who keeps funding that?
Yes,
I mean, when I think it's not innovation. Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, who keeps funding that? I think that is the key question. If we can find out the answer to that, I think we can find the answer to many, many things. Omar, I've run out of time, but always you are my go-to guy of all things foreign in terms of Australia, and we appreciate you very much here this afternoon right across TNT Radio.
Thank you.
And yeah, we really appreciate him. We're going to get to a commercial break, and then back on the other side of it, we've got a whole bunch more guests to talk to, and we would love it if you could actually get online, be part of the online chat, and the other things that you can do are send us an email via the website tntradio.live.
What's happening?
Newsflash. TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Researchers in Australia are now admitting garlic grown in the country can kill the virus that causes COVID-19, just like it does with the common cold. Russian President Vladimir Putin has accused Ukraine of trying to scare and intimidate Russian citizens after Kyiv's forces allegedly launched a drone strike on Moscow. And Uganda is stepping up its efforts to stop the harvesting and trafficking of human organs.
At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We're on air 24/7 online globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Yeah, we certainly do, and welcome back. If you'd like to be a part of it, get involved, get on the website and just don't think about doing things, do them. And again, we thank Gavin McDougall, who went and emailed the PM, do that this afternoon. Our next guest, his name is Ben Walker. He is a British Royal Navy veteran who served in Afghanistan and in the Falklands and who now serves as the party chairman of UKIP. Ben has been a parliamentary candidate, a local councillor and a town mayor. There's not much this man hasn't done, and we're going to have a chat with him right now. G'day, Ben Walker. How are you? No, I don't think we've got Ben there. We'll wait and find out what's happening with that, and I'll be notified imminently. But we get back to those weapons that we were talking about that have gone missing. We're talking 10,000 javelins from Pentagon stockpiles, and they've been sent to the Ukraine since last February. And these things, if you want to buy them on the black market, they're anywhere from $20,000 to $60,000. Can you believe that? While the average cost of a missile, and bear in mind there were 10,000 of them sent from the Pentagon, was $30,000 each. Just absolutely crazy what's going on there. But I just think it's not what we're hoping for, not the outcome that a country that is literally broke should be doing. It's absolutely not that. I was getting ready to talk to Ben, and we're just calling him now, and I'm just trying to find my Ben Robert Smith information because there's a whole bunch of it there. But how do you think this is going to play out for the Australian media? Now, they've been vindicated. They've made claims against him. My hope in this country, remember the old saying, innocent until proven guilty? Do you remember that? So now the media can do their own research that isn't recognised in a court of law as establishing a level of guilt or innocent and move forward with that, make claims, and then have those claims upheld by a court. We've got Ben on the line. Hello, Ben. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I was excellent. I wasn't prepared for that then. I was clamouring for paper. Mate, fantastic to have you on the program. I read your bio. I was mightily impressed. There's not much you haven't done. You've done government at many levels as well. How are you finding? Now, Katie Hopkins is her opening segment says, "Welcome to everybody. I'm broadcasting from batshit bonkers Britain." Is that the case?
I think that's kind of it in a nutshell, to be honest. I mean, the world's gone absolutely mad, hasn't it?
It has, and I'd love to, you know, think. So here in Australia, it's gone nuts, and where they're thinking, okay, yeah, you know, we're strong, we can cop it. Let's hope it's not happening to our brothers and sisters around the world. And then we realise you're copying it as bad or worse, and it just makes us sad. Yeah. It makes you almost give up hope, except that we have people such as you to inspire us and to tell us how we fix this or how we deal with it moving forward.
Yeah, well, hopefully, I can help in some minor way. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, something that you've done, being of the British Royal Navy, you fought for your country and you continue to fight for your country in different ways now, getting into you've done it all, local councillor and town mayor. Now, what are some of the things currently happening that you are most worried about that you think should be tackled imminently in your country?
Well, I guess one of the problems that we face, and I'm sure it's very similar for you, is that there are so many problems on so many fronts, and it's kind of that that old divide and conquer kind of psyche that's being rolled out against us. So everybody is fighting mini battles all over the place, and they can't actually sort of, you know, convene around one issue to get anything right. So we're fighting, you know, there's the attack on women, you know, real women, you know, the ones that have all the wind bits.
Yes, those ones. Yes, I know them well. Yes,
you know. Yeah, so do I. I mean, I have some experience, not very good, but there you go. So all, you know, there's that. I mean, there's the gender stuff. There's kind of civil liberty stuff. I mean, where do you start? I mean, it literally is so widespread. And what's happening in the UK is people they're just simply tapping out. I mean, if you look at that, there was a round of local elections, so for local government, recently in May. I mean, on average, the turnout was 20%, and you'll get these councillors and mayors lording it around saying, great, I won. Mate, 80% of people did not engage with that process. You know, the only winner was apathy.
Yes.
How do you think that's some sort of victory? I do not know. But your average man and woman are simply thinking, you know what? I can't affect any change whatsoever here. What is the point? The process is broken. I'm just not going to engage. And that's what's going to happen. And the trouble is, you've got the incumbents like the Conservative Party who are in government in the UK who are happy with that, because then they can roll out their blue rinsers, their core support, and get the wins. The Labour Party, you get out their radical, nutter kind of leftists, they'll go and vote for them. And yet, the majority of people are simply forgotten and left behind. And that's not right.
It's certainly not. I think you've just coined the phrase or the new mantra for the Western nations. The only winner is apathy these days, it seems to be the
Absolutely.
Case. The British Royal Navy, I would suggest that you probably still know a bunch of people who are serving, and certainly a lot of people who are no longer serving. How much has that changed? And I already know it's changed a lot. That's almost rhetorical. When did that change begin an acute turn?
Well, in all fairness, probably some time ago, because I left the service in 2003. And one of the main reasons I left, because I was involved in logistics, and we simply had no equipment. And at that point, I was supporting the Sea Harriers in Afghanistan. And, sorry, not in Afghanistan, in Iraq, for the second time. And what was happening is some of our aircraft couldn't fly, right? So I was trying to desperately find these bits to make them operational. Couldn't find them anywhere throughout the Navy. couldn't find them anywhere throughout the RAF. So then I go to a place called Abbey Wood, which is the head of logistics for the UK Armed Forces, and they spent the next year's budget, so couldn't even buy the bits of equipment we needed for aircraft, which were in theatre, were in war. And then you're like, what is going on here? And it was at the time where UK servicemen were actually having to buy their own body armour, because what they were getting was absolutely awful, and there wasn't enough of it. And I just thought, you know what, this is a 21st century Navy run by men in pink leotards, and we've just got no money. There's only so much you can do with the stiff British upper lip, right? And that's why I just thought, look, I'm not an anarchist. I'm actually someone who is just really proactive and tries to get things done. But, you know, it's no good sending people into conflict when everything just smells of fresh paint and your boss is after his next ring and they just think everything's right. No, it's not. People are willing and ready to lay the, you know, pay the ultimate price, right? Lay their lives on the line for their country. And what you're doing for them is simply not good enough. So I just felt I had to leave, otherwise I'd end up having a heart attack or getting a stomach ulcer.
What frightens me about what you just said, I would have considered that would be the case now, but certainly not to be the case 20-odd years ago, and it was. So I can only assume things have gotten exponentially worse. So that begs the question. I mean, especially with what's happening in the Ukraine, with the UK sending over some weapons that would absolutely anger Putin, to say the least. If it came to it, do you think the Royal Navy is currently ready to fight?
Absolutely not. No, I just don't think that we are. I mean, you know, the numbers are the lowest that they've ever been in terms of the servicemen and women that we have. Our equipment is sadly lacking if you compare it against some of the Russians' equipment. I mean, you know, it's frightening, actually. But then we have some very good men and women in that service who are willing to do what they can, and they're very proud people. And it always frustrates me that this is a case where, you know, they will literally, or the government or the powers that be will send them into, you know, into the fire, ill-equipped. What do they expect? But it's a sad, sad state of affairs. I mean, I probably shouldn't say this, but my son is actually in the paratroopers at the moment, and he was involved in the airstrip where they evacuated British people. You know, back in was it last year, I think, or the end of the year before, whatever it was. And in comparison to the US services were there, who were sort of fully booted and spurred with all their kit, magazines loaded with rounds. I mean, our servicemen were given, from what I understand, they had 13 rounds in a magazine. That's not even a full magazine. I mean, what is going on? Why is this a thing? I just cannot wrap my head around it. It's crazy.
No, it's really frightening if people think of that in actual terms, that, as you say, you know, you've got a son who's involved, and if he was to go and fight in a conflict and run out of ammunition, that could cost him his life. It could cost any of our sons or daughters who were involved their life. That is beyond horrific. And I'll give you an example of what we're doing here in Australia. We've just signed up to this AUKUS, this AUKUS, you know, agreement, and that's going to cost us a population of only 26 million people, well over $300 billion. That's $15,000 each out of our pocket. And we get these submarines we've ordered, we could not get them for decades, by which time they're probably going to be outdated, and drones will be what's happening. So I think the Australian government is completely out of touch, spending money that they don't have. It's obviously happening in the UK. Subsequent to leaving the EU, have things improved? I guess that's one question I could ask.
Well, no, technically not. I mean, you know, the politicians in this country or the political establishment have made Brexit an abject failure. Not because it was going to be a failure, because that's what they wanted to happen. So they wanted Brexit to be such a failure that people would just fall over themselves to get back into the EU. And that's essentially what they're doing. At the moment, in my opinion, we are sleepwalking back, you know, by hook or by crook and in the shadows, back into the EU. Now, that may not be that we have MEPs sitting in the European Parliament, but it will be, like you've mentioned, all of these strange little agreements that no one knows anything about, doesn't really understand, but our governments are signing them. And this is the problem. It's just, it really is frightening. And, you know, I don't even understand all the technicalities of this, let alone your average person who's just trying to get by in life. It's just not right.
It's one thing to live here in Australia, where we've got a relatively small population compared to yours, a massive landmass. Because if you don't like something, you can just move, and you can move right away from the thing you don't like. But you don't really have that option so much in the UK, do you?
Not really. I mean, you know, if you stand still long enough here, they're trying to build on your back. So that's kind of what's happening here. I mean, there is, you know, our population is growing at an extraordinary rate of knots. And it's not because we're actually, you know, supporting the family unit in having more babies. No, what we're doing is importing cheap labor, which is essentially another form of modern slavery. But there you go. I mean, that's what the politicians want to do. And that's why people are concerned, and they think that there's some sort of great replacement going on because of this nonsensical kind of ideas that they have. I mean, go back. Sorry, just I'm probably ranting. But to go back to the military side of things, you look at the stuff that we are giving Ukraine. Now, there's arguments to say that we should be. There's arguments to say that we shouldn't be. The real issue behind that is we're not replacing it. So it's like we're running down our military stocks. And then if you look at the stock markets, you know, you can get loads of money if you invest in a green company who's going to sell you some pie-in-the-sky idea. But if there's a military company there producing, you know, hardware, there's no value in their shares. We're running that side down. Why? Why are we doing that? You know, there's some really big questions which need they'll never be answered by the powers that be, let's face it.
Yeah, Ben, the whole world seems to be run on Ponzi schemes at the moment. We know how that works. And again, we're having all the same problems here. We're having them in America. My last guest just told me how America is shipping out all these missiles. They hardly have any left. And half of them, not half, but a great deal of them, up to possibly $1 billion worth a month, are ending up in the hands of the drug cartels. So the world's gone mad. It continues to perpetuate. Thank God for people such as you, Ben Walker, party chairman of UKIP. I very much appreciate you, mate, and I hope that we get to talk again real soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next guest on the other side of the break will be giving us his update, Dr. William Bay. He's been fighting those people at APRA, and we'll find out how he went today after this.
Red alert! The World Health Organization is once again pushing their global pandemic treaty, but some European elected officials are fighting back. You'll want to hear this.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Croatian Member of Parliament Mislav Kolazukak spoke for all freedom-loving citizens of the world when he said the following this week.
It will be healthier and safer for humanity to sign agreement with the Colombian drug cartel. They know all about drugs for sure. During the COVID pandemic, World Health Organization only told lies.
Bravo to this Croatian member of parliament. Bravo! Let's not forget that the World Health Organization is funded by the number one funder, Bill Gates, a close second, the United States government, and the WHO is beholden to China and pushed Chinese-style lockdowns on the world. We cannot live in a world where Bill Gates-funded scientists at the WHO declare global instant lockdowns. We must now start the Great Reject.
This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
TNT. We're extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism.
But we are concerned about trouble and trying to be responsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 This is today's news talk and the voice of freedom.
TNT Radio.
To our democracy. What is democracy? If a child asks me, I'll say, you get to pick who betrays you. That's how it works. Pick a side of the duopoly that are absolutely owned outright by the international globalists. But if you are listening here to TNT Radio, you are part of the resistance. I love that. You really are. And in this resistance, we have a five-star general on the line, Dr. William Bay. He's a suspended doctor. Because why? Because he puts your health over his job. And he did that. And he's been having a lot of problems with ARPRA. He's been having to deal with them today. We spoke to him last week and I pleaded that he come back and let us know how he's going. And he's done that this afternoon. But this man has led the fight. He marched into a meeting not that long ago and he wasn't allowed to speak. He had something to say. All the data would support that which he wanted to say, and he was denied the opportunity to say it. So when they won't let you take the podium, stand behind the lectern and give you a microphone to say what it is you wish to say and have your colleagues, possibly even those who quietly agree with you, maybe that could be infectious. Well, they can't allow that at any cost. They absolutely can't allow that, and they didn't. Not only was he dragged from the room after he just shouted out, he had no opportunity. He shouted out a whole bunch of truth and was shouted down subsequently by many of his peers, many of them who just absolutely didn't want to listen to what he said. And plenty of doctors who were going along with the narrative succumbed, even those who had adverse events affect them, but he wasn't one of them. He stood up and we've got him on the line again. Dr. William Bay, are you there now?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Mate, I just gave you the best rap ever and you missed it. Mate, you've been dealing with ARPRA all day and I'm hoping you've got some good news. Tell us what happened.
Whenever the truth comes to light, I think that's good news. And so it is good news in that regard. And that is that ARPRA was being brought to account in the Senate, one of the committees in the Senate of Australia today, Malcolm Roberts and Senator Antic were bringing ARPRA to account by asking them questions. And ARPRA was doing their best to not answer them precisely, but we did get some interesting things out of ARPRA today. But before ARPRA came on and were grilled by Senator Rennick, Antic and Roberts, the Department of Health had the temerity to tell Senator Roberts that, and I quote, "We worked with the Department of Home Affairs in Australia to leverage a capacity to scan social media," end quote.
Wow.
So the Department of Health, yeah, was admitting that they had been instructing Facebook and YouTube and other social media to censor anti-COVID statements, posts, accounts, people like me, based on what they call as the best available scientific evidence of the day. And so the senators asked Professor Brendan Murphy, the Secretary of the Department of Health, whether he would apologise for any of that censorship in light of the now twist in the narrative that now many people and scientists and doctors agree, at least privately, that the vaccines are neither safe nor effective. And Professor Brendan Murphy, much to his discredit and shame, refused to apologise, and he said he refuses to apologise for any of the censorship of Australian social media posts.
Yeah, mate, the sheer arrogance of all of that. You know, we had Senator Alex Antic, and he made us aware of the online content incident arrangement procedural guidelines. I've had to commit that to memory, and of course, so they had no choice really but to admit that today, did they?
Well, they were doing their best to wiggle out of it. You can see on my Twitter account, I've got a few clips there, and they were trying to say that they didn't pay for it, but they sort of did. It was just their social media team working on it. They didn't pay any subcontractors. But, I mean, that means that they did pay for it. The taxpayers did pay for it. And as Senator Antic rightly pointed out, the department giving health advice regarding the COVID vaccines was also the department suppressing criticism of that same advice, that same policymaking. So they had a huge conflict of interest in doing this, and I think they've really betrayed the trust of the Australian people thing.
Every day there was just a mountain of evidence to the point where it is absolutely undeniable, one would think, to anybody who is free thinking that has some common sense. And of course, I was made aware today by former MP, Liberal MP Craig Kelly, of Robert F. Kennedy bringing to light a study that has shown that remdesivir and how absolutely devastating that was, and how people who had probably good positive outcomes and were in groups that were likely to have good positive outcomes were targeted with this particular thing. So again, a mountain of evidence that people were not just harmed, but in my opinion, intentionally harmed at some level, and it just keeps coming out.
Yeah, it does indeed seem like there were ill intents all around, Dean, and the Department of Health in the same Senate inquiry, or sorry, committee today was asked, what do you believe is the cause of the 30,000 excess deaths that have been reported by the Australian Bureau of Statistics for 2022? And the spokesperson, I don't know his name, I've got a photo of him on my Twitter account, but he had the large testicles to say that an aging population may be attributed to that. Can you believe that?
It's nuts. And again, see, I even remembered I even remembered the bloody numbers, you know, of all the people, and this was true as of about March last year, of all the people who died from or with, depending on how you want to say it, COVID across Australia, who did not have three or more comorbidities, or who were not of the median age that in fact ended up being 1 year older than the average life expectancy in Australia of 81, which tended to be 82, there was only 87 people who died. And I am now wondering how many of them were given remdesivir.
And so when APRA had its turn to be grilled by the senators this afternoon, the CEO of APRA, Martin Fletcher, was asked point blank by Senator Roberts, are you aware that some of the country's best specialists are silent? These are the doctors around Australia, and changing their behaviour because they're suppressed by APRA. Martin said yes. Now, this was significant because they had said just moments earlier, Mr. Fletcher had said moments earlier that we have not been censoring doctors and nurses, which is a complete lie. The COVID position statement, the joint statement from the boards and APRA on 9 March 2021 certainly did prohibit free speech amongst medical professionals, all types of health practitioners, so forth. APRA now to try and pretend that they did nothing wrong and they were just looking after the public is really them trying to evade responsibility and accountability for years of people's deaths and suffering thing.
With what happened to you with your license, there's obviously a line. There's a line. I can quote a couple of doctors. You had Dr. Karen Phelps, who was very much in favour of people being vaccinated. Her and her partner have had some very adverse reactions. She subsequently came out and spoke about it, still has a license. Dr. Ross Walker, a celebrity doctor, if you will, was somebody who was advocating for the vaccine, subsequently has found that many of his patients are suffering some adverse events, and he's spoken out as well. Where is the line where people become attacked, such as you have been, versus where they've been let go with the aforementioned doctors?
Yeah, you raise a good point, because that line seems to be arbitrary and not applied equally to all practitioners, and that's because it isn't. When government agencies start stepping outside the bounds of law, this is what happens. Rules don't get followed, and decisions which should be made according to law start being made according to political preference or even just the whim of the decision maker. And that's entirely unlawful and unfair. So APRA, being an agency that, in my opinion, which I intend to prove in the High Court, with the High Court making a decision on my matter next Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., by the way, they would be found to be acting outside and beyond the law, but beyond their lawful powers. And that is why you're getting these discrepancies with people being suspended, like myself, and others not being suspended. Basically, it's about, in my opinion, they've suspended people who've spoken out the most, because what they're trying to suppress the most is free speech.
Yeah, they certainly are, mate. They wanted to stop you talking. They didn't want you to take the lectern, grab the mic and stand up on that stage that day. You've paid a heavy price. We're going to find out if that how that outcome turns out on, is it Monday, did you say?
Wednesday, 7th of June.
Wednesday. Mate, can you do me a favour and come back next Wednesday and let us know how you went one way or another?
Yeah, sounds good, Dean. I think it'll be a good result, even if the High Court decides to not give me a maximum win. The other win available for me is for them just to remit my case to a lower court, Supreme or Federal. So I'm looking forward to a good result on Wednesday, actually.
Mate, I'm hoping and praying that that is the case, and I'm guessing everyone listening is absolutely on board with that as well. I very much appreciate you, as always, Dr. William Bay, Billy Bay, and, mate, we'll talk again next Wednesday.
Okay, take care, everybody, and God bless.
We appreciate him very much, and the likes of Senator Alex Antic and the likes of Malcolm Roberts, Senator to Queensland in Pauline Hanson's One Nation. Those people have been tireless in their efforts, as have the likes of Craig Kelly, and we shall continue to promote them here across TNTradio.live because they are the freedom fighters. We are part of the resistance, as is the lovely Katie Hopkins. She's coming up next. All of you, I'm going to call you Poms because I love you from your Aussie brothers and sisters down under. I wish you good morning, and I'll be back tomorrow afternoon on TNT Radio. See you then.